today as we come to the table.
She wrote it down. He said, now read it back to me. I want to hear what I'm saying. He was sending it to a friend. And it's very interesting what God spoke to his heart as he was saying kind of his last words, so to speak, to his friend that he was writing to. Here's what it said. She read back to him and she said this, I'm still in the land of the living. When suddenly he said, stop. Because that's what he told her to write. I'm still in the land of the living. But it struck him how the statement sounded as he heard it back. And he said, no, change that. Don't say I'm still in the land of the living. Say this, I am still in the land of the dying. But I hope to soon be in the land of the living.
Planet is often referred to as the land of the living. But as Pastor Mark will demonstrate in today's message, the land of the dying would be a better way of describing this fallen world. When you're in Jesus and you pass away, only then do you enter into true life for all of eternity. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. As we seek to understand our loving Father more through today's message, we'll be reminded that God has offered us an amazing privilege in prayer because we can connect to His everlasting kingdom when we focus our hearts on Him through prayer and express our desperate need for Him in our daily lives as we daily have that conversation with our Lord. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 14, as he begins his message entitled, Understanding God in Prayer.
So good to be with you guys. Excited to get in God's Word today. If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to John, chapter 14. As we continue on looking at the Last Supper, again, we talked about this taking weeks to fulfill because we're going to be covering a lot of territory over this one evening that took place. Almost the largest portion here of John is taken up just with this last night with Jesus and his disciples. And so there's a lot to cover here, and we're kind of jumping right in the middle of it. Today, looking at understanding God better and understanding prayer better. Now, we're not going to do an exhaustive study about understanding God or an exhaustive study about understanding prayer, but as we go through this, we're going to learn some valuable things and some greater insight into who God is, how we can know Him better, and prayer and how to use that better. And plus, we're going to touch on the very beginning of looking at the Holy Spirit. But next week, I'm saving that. We're going to spend next week looking at the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, if you will, and kind of breaking that down. And I think slow down and spend some time on who He is and how He operates among us, because it is such an important subject. But I want to do this. I want to jump right into the middle of this meal where the Lord is. Starting in verse 7, I want to read this, and we'll go back and kind of get the setting here and jump into it. Notice chapter 14 of John, verse 7 says this, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you've not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Let's go on down to 18. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Today, as I said, we take up right in the middle of this Last Supper with the Lord. Again, each week we're kind of jumping right in the middle of this time of intimacy, so it's hard to re-get the setting again. Just keep it in your brain. Jesus is with them. He's saying goodbye. They don't know it. He's giving them the last instructions. They don't know it. He's going to be going to the cross the next day. They don't know it, but the Lord knows it. And he knows the gravity of what he's telling him and the gravity of what he's sharing. And again, as we said the last couple of weeks, if you knew you were about to die, you would say what are the most important things you could to those that you loved and those you wanted to leave instruction to. And that is what Jesus is doing. He, in essence, is turning over the keys now to a bunch of young men. Some say maybe as early as their teens. Some argue they might be a little older, but either way, they were young. And he's saying, here, you're going to carry on now and start something new called the church and carry on the gospel. Do you think that they would be able to do that by themselves? There's no way. It's almost like saying, look, I'm turning over this company to you and I've built this mega million-dollar company and you just now turned like 17, 18. I want you to head the thing up. You'd be thinking, these guys need some help. There's no way my son can do this without help or whatever. So you would get people around them that could teach them and instruct them and walk them through it until they got older and more mature and able to handle the situation. This is Jesus with his disciples. I mean, this is it. He's leaving them. He knew what he was doing. He left it with them and he said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'll be there. I'll be leading you and I'm going to get the glory, especially when you think about these young men starting this great work that was going to reach worldwide. No one would get the glory but God, because they would look at these guys and say, how could a bunch of fishermen from Galilee change the world with this message? It was Jesus changing it through them. And there's a great encouragement to us, because the Lord, if he used them, he can use us as well. And he will use us as well. But here's the thing we need to realize, we're not alone. And this is what we're going to get into today. Again, start to get into that. We're going to look at it more in detail next week as far as the helper that the Lord gives us in the Holy Spirit. But again, now we jump back into this whole intimate scene with his disciples here. The Lord giving them that final opportunity, if you will, to be able to pour into them and to tell them the last things they need to know and to help them to understand again a little bit more about who he is and who the Father is, so they can rest in that, as well as prayer and what they need to do, because they're going to need lots of prayer. And how prayer is going to function, not just for them, but we need to understand how prayer functions today if we're going to be successful in carrying out the gospel. When John Owen, the great Puritan, was on his deathbed, his secretary was writing out his final words, and he was having his secretary in his name say, write this down. And she's putting everything down. And as she wrote it down, he said, now read it back to me. I want to hear what I'm saying. He was sending it to a friend. And it's very interesting what God spoke to his heart as he was saying kind of his last words, so to speak, to his friend that he was writing to. Here's what it said. She read back to him and she said this, I'm still in the land of the living, when suddenly he said, stop. Because that's what he told her to write. I'm still in the land of the living. But it struck him how the statement sounded as he heard it back. And he said, no, change that. Don't say I'm still in the land of the living. Say this, I am still in the land of the dying, but I hope to soon be in the land of the living. What an insight that is for all of us this morning when it comes to what we're called to do down here. Listen, we cling on to life so desperately. We hold on to wanting to live. I don't want to die. Please don't let me have cancer or whatever the thing might be. And I understand that. We have a natural human desire to live. That's something God has put in us. And death is unnatural. Death entered in when it came to sin entering the world. And so now these bodies wear out. But what we need to realize, and what John Owen understood, this is not the land of the living. I don't want to leave the land of the living. Get this. You're not yet in it. You're not in the land of the living. You're the walking dead. No, that probably isn't the best way to look at that. But the bottom line is we are in the land of the dead. We really are. You don't think we're in the land of the dead? You notice as you get older, you recognize it more. I mean, every time that old thing jumps out of your ear and goes, you realize, I'm dying. Things are shutting down. But it's okay, because we're all going, listen, this is temporary. What we need to be looking for is the land of the living. So we're actually working toward the land of the living. That's the goal. That's the goal, is to leave these bodies and enter into the kingdom of God. The goal is not to stay here, but here's the thing. While we are here, we're on a mission trip. Now, we just got back from Puerto Rico, and we took a team on a mission trip, end quote. This entire church is a mission trip. Every church in Knoxville is a mission trip. Every church around the globe. Listen, this is a foreign land compared to heaven. And God has put us in this foreign land to spread the gospel, to let people know we're in the land of the dying, but you don't have to die forever. Just your body will die. Your spirit can live forever if you believe in what Jesus did for you on the cross and receive his sacrifice in your place. And so we all are kind of assigned this job, if you will, to be those witnesses and to get people from the land of the dying into the land of the living. And so that's what we did again on our mission trip. That's what we're doing now in our mission here in Knoxville. And that's what we're going to do every time we go out in the name of the Lord, is to let people realize. And I'll tell you, there's something when people realize they're dying or when they realize they have a need and these bodies are mortal, it really opens up a door for the gospel. We need to be sharing the gospel anyway. But it was really neat to see when you go to people that are so thankful somebody's brought them food and brought them water up in the mountains of Puerto Rico, and some people have electricity and some people don't, and the hurricane has done all these different things. They're very receptive to what you're bringing. So God has opened their eyes through a disaster to their need. But that doesn't always happen in the way we think it will. But as God opens the eyes of the people around us here in Knoxville to their need, that's when we need to be ready to share the gospel. Because God will do it for everyone. You're the missionaries. Don't shy away from it. But I'm too afraid. I can't share my faith. Listen, pray for boldness. God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about one of the functions of the Holy Spirit next week is to give us power. And you don't have to wait till next week. You can say, God, give me power now. You don't have to understand it. Just pray for it. But next week, hopefully you'll understand it better. And when God gives you that power, then the boldness comes. Again, I have no boldness unless God gives me power. It doesn't happen. God has to give us the boldness. God gives us the power. We all have different weaknesses and different strengths. And so we need to pray to God to help us and to give us the ability. Again, this is what the Lord is trying to teach his disciples and teach us. And so let's jump into it. Again, they've just asked the Lord, hey, we don't know where you're going. We don't know the way. And the Lord said to them, I'm the way, the truth, the life. Verse 6 there, no one goes to the Father except through me. Pretty radical statement that we ended on last time we were together. And he goes on and says this, if you had known me, you would have known the Father or my Father. Note that. You would have known him also. And from now on, you know him and you have seen him. It's interesting, the word know here is the word gnosko in the language. It means to know by experience. What he's saying to them is this, you don't realize it, but you've been living with the Father. You have experienced God in human form. See, they still didn't grasp that. We know that now because we know the gospel. And hindsight, as they say, is 20/20. We can look back and go, this is God in human form. They didn't realize it was God in human form still yet at this point. And what he's saying to them would be shocking for them to realize at that moment. And that is, you are now face to face with God Almighty, the Father of all creation, the Father of the universe. You are seeing him. And they still didn't grasp it, as we're going to see. But what an amazing thing to realize that when you look at Jesus, you are looking at God the Father. Now, he develops this. Look at this, verse 8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Yeah, I would say. Now, I don't know what Philip's thinking at this point. Show us the Father, and it's sufficient. Was he just thinking, maybe do a small share with us what you mean by that? Or was he like, show us some kind of glory or whatever? Can you imagine? I mean, if the Lord had just kind of peeled back the veil and shown him God's glory, it would have freaked them out. You know, show us the Father. Okay, look at this. Okay, I just want you to see a second, you know. You know, it's interesting when you look at the Mount of Transfiguration. The Lord went up to the Mount of Transfiguration, and we call it that because he transfigured before them. He began to glow, and his glory began to shine. And I often think in a time where there weren't streetlights and power and this kind of stuff, when you go to Israel and you see the area that the Lord was in, you would have seen that from everywhere. I mean, what did people think that was? All of a sudden, this big glow up on the mountain, you know, and probably he was somewhere up on Mount Hermon, and maybe he was hidden by something, I don't know, but you'd be wondering, what in the world was that? The Lord showed them his glory. You see, the miracle of Jesus walking on the earth wasn't that the fact that it was God in human form as much as it was God in human form with his glory covered up with human flesh. The true Jesus was when he began to show them, peel that flesh back and I'll let you see my glory as I transfigure before you for just a moment. And they saw the brightness of the glory and it freaked them out. And now, Philip wasn't with them when they did that. I don't know whether or not he's referring to this kind of thing, but he says, Lord, we want to see the Father. Show us, and this will be sufficient. What he's trying to get across to them is you're looking at him. The mystery of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're all three in one God. And look at this. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you've not known me, Philip? That is, you haven't known me, and you don't understand who you're seeing. A lot of people today look at Jesus and don't recognize that he's God. They think that he's just a man or that he's a good prophet. They don't know him. They're not understanding him. He says, he who has seen me, get this, has seen the Father. Wow. So how can you say, show us the Father? What an amazing revelation by the Lord. We know he's God, but the impact when you think this through. Look, do you want to know what God is like? What would God do in this situation? Remember the old, what would Jesus do, bracelets and all that? You want to know what God would do in any situation? Go back and go through the Gospels and look at Jesus. You want to understand who the Father is better? That's him in human form. You ever wonder in heaven, is God mad at me when I do this? Would God yell at me? What is God thinking? How would God respond to this? Go back in the Gospels and look at what God did when he came upon someone who didn't know the answers but were humble. I think of the woman at the well. You know, she's sitting here saying, you know, talking to Jesus and not knowing anything and kind of whatever. And all of a sudden the Lord, because she didn't understand who she was talking to, he showed amazing grace to her. And he revealed the truth of how to be saved. Her, very gentle, very true. So what does that tell us? God the Father, if someone is truly looking for truth, he's very gentle. He's very gracious. Even if they're living in sin, she had been living with five different men and weren't married to any of them. She's sleeping around, we would say today. Here's a woman who's been sleeping around. She sits down next to God, all right? What would you think God would do? Have you been sleeping around? Have you been getting drunk? Have you been doing drugs? How would God treat you? Look, if you come to God and you truly are honest and say, look, I just want to get right, and I want to do the right thing, and I want to know how to do the right thing. You say, but I'm afraid to, because God will be mad at me, and maybe he's going to, you know, whatever, and destroy me and this kind of stuff. You want to see what the Father would do? Look what he did with the woman at the well. He began to love her. Go get your husband. I don't have one. That's right. You've had five. The man you're living with now, you're not married to. You're sleeping around. And yet, God will forgive you. I'm the Messiah. If you believe in me, you can be born again. This whole scene there that God gives in the whole situation, that's how God's going to respond to you if you just come to him in humility. Yeah, well, what would God do if you're a hypocrite? Well, then just look at how God dealt with the Pharisees. And the Sadducees, what did he do? He dealt with them pretty firmly. He didn't pull any punches. He was like, you're a brood of vipers. So the Lord, we can see a great firmness to the Lord. We see a great gentleness to the Lord. What did the Lord do when he saw people that were sick? He had compassion on them. What did the Lord do when he saw the poor? He gave to them. All these attributes. I want to know what God is like. Don't go any farther than Jesus. That's understanding God, the Father. Because it was the Father living himself out through human flesh. Again, we can't understand the mystery of the Trinity, but that's exactly what was happening. Jesus is now trying to get that across to his disciples. It's not like some distant God that's in some throne that you can't understand in heaven. He says, you're looking at him. I'm right here. You can understand me. I can understand you. We can communicate. Just amazing when you really flesh this out and live this out and just, you know, see who he really is and gives us an understanding of who God is. Again, I encourage you, go through the Gospels. Look at the different ways he dealt with people. If you're going through something right now and you're thinking, how would God deal with me on this? Go to the Gospels. Find somebody else going through your situation. See, this is how God would deal with me. And here's the hard part. Hey, if it's something where God dealt with them very seriously, they knew better and they're doing something, you need to repent. God knows how to deal firmly with his people when he needs to deal firmly. And with, you know, even those who maybe are not yet his people, and put a fear of God in them. I was speaking with someone just after first service. They recently gave their life to the Lord, and they were saying, God just opened my eyes to really see what I was doing and who I was, and it put a great fear in my heart and all this. And I said, that's good. I'm glad you got that fear, but now you need to learn God's love and learn God's grace. God is loving and God is gracious, but there also needs to be a healthy respect to the fact that we're going to stand before him one day and be judged by him. And so God deals with us where we are. So God was dealing with him in the seriousness of sin to get his attention. And now God's going to begin to teach him his grace and his love so he can rest. You know, the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. I think it's good to have an initial respect and fear of God. We have to have that. But then to have that rest to say, you know what, even though I fear him and in the sense of respecting him, he loves me and he's my Father, and perfect love casts out all fear. There's his grace. And so, again, you've seen the Father, you know, you know him. You show us the Father. There's nothing else to show because you've already seen him. He said, you've been with me so long, Philip. You've seen the Father. You should know the Father. He says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. He says, look, I'm just a conduit carrying out God's will and God's word through me to you. And so you can believe me because of that, which, by the way, that's what we're supposed to be, a conduit. We're just carrying the word of God through us to the world around us and giving them God and showing them God and letting them understand God. And he says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. He's like, even if you're struggling believing that you're looking at God Almighty in human form, if you're struggling with that, then just stop for a minute and just look at what I did. You know, when you talk to people and you share the gospel with them, you share the Lord with them. Well, I don't know that I believe Jesus was really God, or I don't know that I believe he's the only way to the Father. Okay, he said he was the only way. You may not believe it. He said he was God. You may not believe it. But if you won't believe simply what he said, do you believe what he did? Do you believe they recorded this accurately in the scriptures? And if somebody thinks about it, well, yeah, it'd be kind of hard to lie with that many witnesses. Certainly people would have written books that said, hey, this guy's lying. None of this really happened. Well, so obviously these things really happen. Then the thing is, all right, if God really did that, who do you think he was? I believe in God's power today, and I believe that the blind can receive their sight today by prayer. I believe that the deaf could get their hearing by prayer. I know we may not see it that often, but I believe God still works that way. I believe in some situations, and there's some stories from the mission field that say people have even been raised from the dead. I've never experienced that. I've never verified that. But I do believe that God can still do anything. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I believe in the power of God in all things that he does and everything that he says that he'll do. But here's the bottom line. No one could have gone at will and given eyesight to anyone they wanted except God. No one could have gone at will and opened the ears of the deaf of anyone they wanted except God. No one could have walked up to the dead and raised them at will without being God. And we saw him do this on numerous occasions. So what he's saying to them is, look, even if you're struggling with some of the things that I say, believe me for the works themselves that I am God Almighty. You're looking at him, powerful. And so, again, the first thing I want you to grasp out of today is this. You want to understand who God the Father is? You want to have a better understanding of God? Go through the Gospels and look at Jesus. He is God revealed to mankind. And I love that because that takes away all questions. Every religion has their version of Jesus or their version of God. But if you want to know what God is really like, he showed us. He came and took on human form, and now we can know. This is powerful. So the first thing the Lord does to them is say, look, this, I am God Almighty. Understand that. And then after all these things, as they really grasped this, would have been going through their minds of all they'd learned and seen of the Lord, and just how valuable that would be as they now started out on this new venture of leading the church and doing this whole new work of God here on planet Earth. And the second thing he comes to now is answered prayer. Look at this starting in verse 12. Look what he says. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. What a statement. How in the world could we do greater works than Jesus did? If you're like me, the first thing that pops in my mind is, I can't raise the dead. I can't give the sight to the blind. I can't, you know, make the deaf hear or whatever. And although I do believe that God still does and will do those kind of miracles in certain situations, as we pray and ask God to do it, the bottom line is, how can that be greater than Jesus? He's already done that. He's not saying that we can be greater than him in the sense of the power that we individually have. What he's saying is, it's because I go to the Father, and he's going to let him know in a moment, when I go to the Father, I'm going to send the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, that is the Paraclete. We'll talk more about who the Holy Spirit is next week, get into it a little bit this week. But what he's saying is, I'm going to take my Holy Spirit that is in me, that is indwelling me, that I'm doing these amazing things in, and I'm going to put them in multitudes.
Thanks for spending the last half hour with us at the table of God's Word. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of John next time, but you don't have to wait for our next episode to keep digging into the Bible. You can access more messages right now at PastorMarkKirk.com or subscribe to the daily podcast right from our website. And feel free to share these teachings with your friends or family members or someone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. The book of John is a great introduction to who Jesus is, and it might just be the conversation starter you've been looking for. That website again is PastorMarkKirk.com. Hey, are you listening right now in the Knoxville area? If so, we want to meet you. Here's Pastor Mark with a personal invitation.
Thanks, Greg. I want to let you know there's a seat waiting for you here at Calvary Knoxville. We've been here since 1997, and it's been an honor to see God do such incredible things in our fellowship and in this community. Come join us as we invest in God's Word and in each other. And yes, we're meeting in person. All our services and ministries are being held each week, but we're also streaming online for those who can't make it in person. You can find out everything by clicking on the Our Church section at PastorMarkKirk.com. I'm excited to see you this weekend, and I hope you'll join me again the next time we come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.